More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, which way, Lord? Are you struggling to discern what God wants you to do about a challenge in your life or relationships? We're going to help you move forward with courage and confidence. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, which way, Lord? We're talking about discernment. And, you know, it's challenging to know what God wants us to do, especially when we're facing a challenge in our life or relationships. We're going to help you move forward with courage and confidence. Call in. We're not going to tell you what God wants you to do, but we're going to walk you through the steps that can help you find out. It doesn't have to be as complicated as it seems sometimes.
It does not. But it's something that is not talked about in the secular world at all. And when it's mentioned, perhaps at church or a prayer group, most people don't really go into it. So let's go into it for your particular situation, your particular life today. Give us a call if you're trying to discern something in your life, or you're just trying to figure out how to do that on sort of a daily basis. The number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Are you having a hard time deciding what to do about a problem in a relationship, or a challenge you're facing in life, or an opportunity that's come up, and you're just wishing God would send you a text message telling you what to do?
Yeah, right.
Maybe every time you think you've decided, the doubt creeps back in. Or maybe you're praying about it, but you still can't tell whether the answer you're getting is God's voice or maybe just your own voice. Does it feel like everybody has a different opinion about the right thing to do? Or maybe someone you love, your child, your spouse, a friend, is agonizing over a big choice and you don't know how to help them find their way without just telling them what they should do? Let us help you quiet the noise, find your bearings, and take the next steps forward with courage and confidence.
Well, that sounds good.
It does indeed.
I'd be okay with that. Talking about discernment today on More to Life, 877-573-7825. You know, how do we know? You know, what God's asking us to do, how do we know if it's just our voice or our desires that we're listening to? Those are good questions to ask, but I think we can overthink it and overcomplicate it, and we're going to draw from the Catholic spiritual tradition and the theology of the body to help you get the clarity that you're looking for when it comes to the big decisions you have to make in your life, your relationships, the challenges you're facing, the opportunities you're trying to decide about. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, well, you know, how could some theology help me, you know, make decisions? Well, so St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. Basically, he wanted to know, what does it mean for a Catholic person to really thrive? And what does it mean for us to, as Catholics, to celebrate truly healthy and holy, vibrant relationships? And his answer to those questions became what people now refer to as the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body helps us to know that when we're praying about big decisions, when we get caught up in asking, how do I know if it's God? Or maybe it's just me. Well, the theology of the body is there to guide us and remind us that we can discover God's will by prayerfully leaning in to three qualities: meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue.
Right, because those are the three pillars that an abundant life rests on. And the Holy Spirit's always pushing us toward that more abundant life. So meaningfulness points us toward the option that lets us use our gifts to make a positive difference and be a blessing to others. Intimacy points us toward the choices that will help us form deeper, stronger, healthier connections with the people in our life. And virtue helps us ask, what choice is going to help me use this situation I'm in to become more of that whole, healed, godly, grace-filled person God made me to be?
Prayerfully reflecting on those three qualities when making a decision helps pull us out of our own heads. They stop us from focusing too much on the what do I feel like doing or what will make everyone else happy. The more I can lean into meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue in everything I do, especially the decisions I make, the clearer my path becomes. I can know that a feeling, desire, thought, or impulse is from God, not necessarily because how it feels or even how confident I am in the decision, but rather because that's the direction the compass God gave me is pointing.
So the next time you're standing at a fork in the road asking, which way, Lord, stop hunting for the secret answer. Check your compass. You know, ask which road makes you more of a gift, brings you closer to the people in your life and gives you healthier relationships with them, and enables you to become the stronger, healthier, more virtuous person God's calling you to be. And then take that step, you know, knowing that you're doing the best that any person possibly could to follow the Holy Spirit and where he is leading you. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let's talk about discernment today on More to Life. How do we know what God wants us to do, whether we're facing a decision, a challenge, a problem in our life or relationships, and we're just really trying to figure out, you know, Lord, what do you want me to do? We can get really twisted up. And, you know, I know there are plenty of times in my own life where I would get kind of caught up in just, how is this my voice? Is this the Lord's voice? We're gonna talk more about this because, you know, the fact is, when it comes to the voice thing, you know, or even the impulse thing, you know, because God doesn't have a body, he doesn't have a voice, per se. That doesn't mean he's not talking to you. It just means that he's talking to us in a different way. And he uses different voices. He uses the voices in our heads. He uses the feelings that we have. Same is true for the enemy, though. You know, the wrong question is, whose voice is it? The question we need to be asking is, what direction does this voice lead in? If this voice is pointing me toward meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, there's a good chance it's from the Holy Spirit. If it's pointing me toward powerlessness, isolation, or self-pity and self-indulgence, which are sort of the opposites of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, then it's from the enemy. And I need to step away from that. And those are just some kind of general guardrails that help us kind of approach our decisions in a more confident way. 877-573-7825. That's the number to call with your questions about, well, making those big decisions and deciding what it is that God's calling you to. Give us a call again, 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you today and we bring those big decisions that we have to make to you, and we ask for your guidance and clarity and wisdom, so that we can hear your voice and know your will and do what you're calling us to do. But help us to remember in all things that you are calling us toward greater meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. And so help us to lean into those qualities when we have decisions to make or opportunities to evaluate. Help us to always pursue those choices that allow us to be more of a blessing to others and make use of our gifts to make a positive difference in our surroundings. Help us to lean into those choices that enable us to have healthier, holier, deeper, closer relationships. And help us to lean into those choices that challenge us to use what we're going through to become healthier, holier, stronger, godlier people, so that we can lean always into meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue in all that we do. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, talking about discernment on our show titled, Which Way, Lord? As we discuss the struggle to discern what God wants us to do and how we can know what he's calling us to. 877-573-7825.
Well, we have a question that came in from Karen, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio. She says, my daughter is entering into her senior year in high school in just a few weeks. She wants to go across the country for college. Every time I try to talk it through with her, she thinks I'm trying to control her. And every time I back off, I end up laying awake at night and worrying that she's making a huge mistake. It's not just that I'll miss my baby. She's a good kid, but she tends to be more of a follower. She has good friends in the youth group at our parish, and she happily joins in on all the activities, but she doesn't initiate things or take the lead in things that she's a part of, even though she could. I'm afraid being at a big campus that far away is too big an adjustment for her, and that it would be too easy to fall into the wrong crowd. I want to trust her, but I also feel like part of my job is to keep her from walking off a cliff. Where's the line between helping her discern and just imposing what I think is best? And that's from Karen in Ohio.
Well, Karen, thank you so much for the question. And I know that there are a lot of parents who are going through this discernment process right now. So, look, I think that your concerns are valid. But I think it's a matter of how do you approach it with your daughter so that you guys could really work through this together and she doesn't feel like you're undermining her in some way. So the first thing, you didn't mention how you guys are praying about it, so I just want to take a minute to encourage you to be praying about it together.
Together. I was going to emphasize that, and I really want to. If you've never prayed together, this is the time to really, really start. So she can know she's being heard by you and by God together. If you have been praying together, good on you, but this is the time to really focus on that because you want to bring it to God. There's some wonderful things she can get out of this, and there are some scary things, as you're pointing out, and really entering this, into this together is going to be helpful for both of you.
So let's talk a little bit about how to pray for this, though,
yep.
And then we can get into some other practical things, too. You know, the first step is really talking to God out loud from your heart about your concerns and also the opportunities here. And both of you kind of laying that out. And what's happening is you're talking to God in each other's presence, though. You're listening to each other while you're both talking to God. And you're asking the Holy Spirit to help you kind of clue in to certain things that each other is saying. You know, so you might start by saying, you know, Lord, help us to know what you want us to do. You know, I know my daughter knows what she wants, I know what I want, but we want to do what you want. Help us to know what's best for both of us or all of us in this situation so that she can really be the young woman that you're calling her to be. You know, and help me be the mom she needs me to be through all this, right? And then you just talk out those concerns. You know, Lord, I want her to have every advantage, and I think it's exciting for her to be able to go away. But on the other hand, I'm concerned that she's kind of a follower sometimes, and I'd love to see her be more of a leader in that way. And she can say, you know, Lord, my mom sometimes doesn't really, I don't feel like she's listening to me, and I feel like she doesn't believe in me, and trust me, help me to know how to. Right, so you see what I'm saying? You're having a conversation with God in front of each other, and you're listening, you're asking the Holy Spirit to help you really listen to the underlying needs and concerns that each of you has, so that you can use that prayer then as a springboard for deeper conversation. If you're struggling to know how to do that, we talk more about this in our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids. Check it out. It'll give you more instructions on that piece of it. In terms of the practical guidance, I mean, so I think your observation is fair. You know, if you're, even though she's, and I think it's wise, because there are a lot of parents in your position who would say, well, my kid, you know, she's active in her youth group, good for her, she, you know, I can send her anywhere. But your point about her being more of a follower is important, because at this age, faith is all relational, entirely relational. And if she's with a bunch of kids who are faithful, but she's more of a follower, she's going to follow them there. If she's with a bunch of kids who aren't faithful, she's probably going to she might follow them elsewhere. So, you know, if you were seeing her taking more of a lead in those groups, and exercising more leadership in general, then I would say that you could trust. But you could encourage her in that. And I would say that up front. I would say, look, I want you to be successful wherever you go. And I would love for you to know that you could really hack a big school like that. But in order to do it, I need to see you being more of a leader, because it's too easy to get swallowed up in that. So what if between now and we made this the time we make this decision, I could see you taking more of a leadership role in the things that you're already enjoying doing? What would that look like for you? And have a conversation about it. Don't tell her what to do, because then she's not being a leader. right? She's just doing what you told her. But you're saying, I want to help you develop this skill so that you could be successful wherever you want to go. So what would that look like for you? And really start having a conversation about what that would actually look like, practically speaking.
I think that it's also important to really look at campuses that have support for her Catholic faith in some way, shape, or form. There are great Catholic colleges. There are some great secular colleges with wonderful campus ministries that are Catholic. But really looking into that so that she has a place to turn to, a place to land, a place to grow in her faith, and maybe even a place to step in and lead a bit since she's been part of a youth group. You don't want to just say, well, I'll send her to a Catholic college. That way, wherever she follows, at least she'll be following Catholic people. There's plenty of ill to follow anywhere.
Plenty of holes to fall into.
Absolutely.
Wherever you go.
I like that. Holes to fall into wherever you go. So don't just think that, you know, being on a really super Catholic college campus is going to do it for her. But really helping her discern, well, if I do go to this place that I'm dying to go to, what do I have to support me in my faith? Who will I be able to make friends with who will understand me and be prayer support to me? So taking that into account as well as you're discerning where she's applying to, where she's deciding to go, where you'll even take time to go and visit, that is very important to go with her, is going to be very important to take to your shared prayer for discernment with her.
All right. So thank you so much for the question. I hope that these ideas will give you some more ways to really pray and discuss this so that you can both feel like you're listening to each other and, more importantly, that you're hearing what the Holy Spirit's calling you to. Listeners, give us a call at 877-573-7825. We're talking with you today about discernment. You know, how do you know what God's calling you to do? How can you have the courage and the confidence to step out, even when you're maybe not feeling 1,000% certain about what you think maybe is the right thing? We're not going to tell you what to do, obviously, but we are going to give you tried and true principles from our Catholic tradition that will help you hear God's voice more clearly and know what His will is. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking more of your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins. She is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. She'll be sharing with us some insights on how to help our kids discern things effectively. But we're taking your calls too at 877-573-7825. And we will be back with more of your questions coming up right after this.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
He is honored by the Church as a saint with the title of the Angelic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the Church's most famous guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It helped him earn the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Which Way, Lord? We're talking about those times when we're struggling to discern what God might want us to do about a challenge in our life or relationships. How can we move forward with courage and confidence? Give us a call. Let us help you walk through the steps that will help you get the clarity you need to know what God's calling you to do. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins, the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Lisa. I'm so glad to be here.
We're so glad to have you with us today. And I think that as a Catholic mom of 11 kids, who has worked very hard to lay a foundation of faith for your children, I think you know more than most people how important it is to get your children to learn how to start discerning things, even from a young age. It's really significant, isn't it?
It is, because while they begin their lives having every decision made for them, clothes they wear, what they're having to eat, before too long, they're going to be faced with making decisions for themselves, from what clothes to wear and food to eat, but then classes to take in school, friendships to make, what to do with their, you know, their downtime. And if we start early and tune their ears, as it were, to hearing the voice of God, it makes things a little bit easier for them when they're deciding colleges, who to date, and maybe even a vocation.
Mm-hmm. So you've got younger kids, you're kind of moving from, you know, you pick up the baby, you change the baby, you feed the baby, you don't consult them, to they're starting to be very sentient beings, they want to make their own decisions. How do you start laying that foundation to help them discern what their choices should be?
Well, I think one thing you can do is you can incorporate it in your family prayer. You know, if you pray together as a family at night, or maybe even around the dinner table, let them know what decisions maybe are happening. Now, granted, you're not going to ask their opinion on whether you're moving or a job to change, but you could say, hey, guys, you know, mom and dad are making an important decision. Could you pray with us together as we try to make that decision? But then maybe they could be incorporated into, what do you want to do this weekend? Where do we want to go on a vacation? And then they can learn to ask questions, offer their own opinion and their thoughts on it, and you can give them, you know, real, you know, pat on the back, but that's a great question. I hadn't thought of that, to help them learn how to form their minds to think of how will it work, what will we benefit from it, and will this make us closer to God and our best selves, or maybe not?
And I love that you're asking those questions, and then, as you said, you know, just prior to this point, then you're bringing it to prayer. So you're coming up with evidence, questions, things to discern about it. It's not just discerning the whole big decision, but it's discerning with all of this evidence in play, or all these questions in play, and then again, you're having them pray about it, or the family pray about it together.
Exactly, and this teaches them techniques for the rest of their lives. Can you make a pro and con sign for them? What are the pros of doing this and the cons of doing that? Ask them what they like about the idea, what excites them about it, and then you can help learn that, to teach them how to ask questions of themselves, and they can also then learn to how ask questions of others. We need to lead our kids also to other people who can help them out. If you have a family friend who's really wise and can offer advice, you can suggest they go talk to them about maybe what job to take at high school, you know, and supporting them all with good people who can give good advice.
And not necessarily tell them what to do, but again, give them more to bring to their discernment.
Well,
process.
And you know, one thing, I'm glad you said that, Lisa, because one thing that occurs to me, Rachel, as you're talking about all these really good pieces, in order for a parent to be able to use anything that you're talking about, we have to kind of give up the idea that we have the right to kind of tell the child what to do. I mean, we do ultimately,
yes, we
as parents,
do,
especially if they're a minor. But if we're trying to teach our kids how to discern things, instead of just saying, well, I already know what the right answer is, and I'm just going to help pray with you until you can get to where I'm at. You know, we as parents really do need to say, okay, well, look, I have a pretty good idea where I think we need to go, but let's pray through this together, and let's see where God's leading us.
Exactly.
And be humble enough to acknowledge that maybe maybe we don't have all the information just yet, even though, you know, we have the authority ultimately to kind of help our kids decide these things.
Yep. Our kids will often call Matthew helicopter dad, and he can be. but his goal, he says, is I want to help you teach you how to pilot your own helicopter. I will help you. We'll write down lists. We'll have conversations about it. But you're in charge of your own helicopter, and I don't want you crashing in the way. So,
well, I actually love Matthew's analogy, because we wouldn't just say, fine, just go take the helicopter that's out on that pad and take it up and see what you can do with it when they hit, you know, driving age or whatever. We would make sure that we were giving them classes in how to do this, how to do it safely, running those routines, running those checklists. So teaching them how to discern from a young age on, or wherever we're getting this information today, whatever age they're on, we can start, is really vital so they don't crash and burn spiritually in their lives.
Rachel, thanks so much for being with us. Always a pleasure to talk with you. And if folks would like to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club, I really encourage them to go check out beholdpublications.com. Again, that's beholdpublications.com to learn about the Little Flowers Girls Club and how it can bless the little girls in your life. And we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825, talking about discernment. You know, how do we know what God is calling us to? You know, we want to follow God's will as Christians. But it can be hard to know what that is sometimes. And we can do a number on ourselves, too, because we feel like, well, I should have perfect peace about the thing if God's calling me to that. But I don't, so what do I do? Or, you know, I see that there's good over here and good over there, and I'm not sure which good thing I should go after. Or how do I know it's God's voice and not just mine? All questions that have simpler answers than you might think. So let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls and questions about discernment when we come back after this break. Stick around.
Teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. In the Bread of Life discourse, documented in John chapter 6, Jesus states that he is the bread of life, and that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. The Jews were scandalized in verse 52. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus does not back down, but reiterates this teaching four more times over the next four verses. Many left in verse 66 because this teaching was truly difficult. But at no point does Jesus water down his teaching and call them back. No, he allows them to leave, and even questions his 12 apostles if they too wish to leave. Jesus intended to be understood literally, and the Jews, apostles, and the Catholic Church absolutely take him at his word. Examining the truth of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Are you passionate about Jesus? Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him? Is that true? It's not true for most people in the church. Is Jesus my best friend? Is he your best friend? I'm looking around the church. There's a set of guys in here who have great man caves. As I was praying this morning, I felt like the Lord said, hey, when are you gonna come to my man cave? Like, you guys think a flat screen TV is really cool. Well, you should see what I got to offer. Because I and I alone, he says, can really give you what it is you're longing for. Whoever it is we're rooting for right now, they're going to lose eventually. Or whatever it is that's occupying our time, one day we're going to realize it really wasn't that important. Why aren't we hanging out with the one who alone can show us what life is really all about? When was the last time you hung out in the Lord's man cave?
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Do you ever catch yourself praying for courage, but then staying exactly where you are? Well, you're not alone. A lot of faithful people know, more or less, what God is asking them to do, but they can't seem to get past the fear that stands in the way. In my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, I explain that the cure for that fear isn't more willpower. It's learning to recognize the ways God's power is already working in you, through you, and for you in every moment. When fear has you frozen, don't try to argue yourself into being brave. Instead, bring the fear to God and pray, Lord, I don't know how to do this. Teach me. I'm willing to learn. Then take the first small step. That one step changes everything because it moves you from reacting in your fear to responding to God's call. For more tips on overcoming fear and anxiety and building real confidence, see my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show, Which Way, Lord? As we talk about discernment and how we can know what God's calling us to. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with J.D., who's listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia.
J.D., welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good. Thank you. Good morning. And thanks for being there, you folks.
Oh, thank you. Okay, and what can we do for you today?
Yeah, so the question for me and for you is to move or not to move?
All right, tell us what's going on.
I live in a house, and it's in a secluded area in the country, and I've been there for about 11 years, and when I first went there, I loved it. It's great being out on my own and not around all the madding crowd. But as time has gone by, I'm finding I don't like being as secluded as I have been. The advantage of being there was the seclusion that I liked, and the advantage now is I don't have a mortgage. So financially, it makes perfect sense to stay right there. Mm-hmm. But the seclusion is the thing that I'm struggling with now. So I'd like to move to someplace, you know, like a condo, a rental, you know, two-bedroom, two-bath, you know, that sort of thing. Closer to people that I know and that I can still afford. And that's where I'm at.
All right. And so it's how are you praying about it, can I ask?
Well, I have morning prayers every day, and I ask the Lord which way to go. I mean, because I'm in the middle of financially, stay put. I'll use the word psychologically loosely. I don't know. I don't think it's as healthy for me as it should be. I think it'd be in a more healthy place if I moved to be more available, or others to be more available to me and me to them, in another location.
Well, so obviously, you know, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'll just give you some general principles. I mean, you know, it's one thing if a choice that we would make would, you know, be financially or otherwise endangering to us in some way.
Right. So one of the first things you really need to do is investigate what you would need financially for wherever you're moving. For instance, years ago, Greg and I were looking at a property in a city. We loved the property. We could afford the property, the building. Everything was great. When we talked to the realtor, we found out that this particular city suddenly, just immediately upon going to contract, wants $40,000 for the privilege just of moving to this city. It was their sort of welcome tax. And we went, oh, wait a minute. This is a hidden cost we didn't expect, and there's probably going to be a lot more.
So you want to look and make sure that financially it makes sense to move. But
talk to a realtor, talk about taxes, talk about areas, that kind of thing.
But unless it's going to be damaging to you, then I would say the larger question comes back to what we were posing earlier. Which of the options available do you think would lead to a greater degree of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue? Actually, I want to kick this back to you. So meaningfulness, again, referring to what option gives you the greatest potential to be a blessing to others and use your gifts to make a positive difference in your life and the lives of others. Secondly, intimacy. Which option seems to give you the greatest degree or the greatest opportunity to build relationship and take those relationships to a healthier, deeper place? And then thirdly, virtue. Which option is going to challenge you to become more of who you prayerfully believe God is calling you to be? I'm not asking you to make that decision, but I'm just curious, JD, do those questions sort of cause you to maybe tip in one direction a little bit more than the other if you leaned into those filters instead of just, you know, gosh, what do I do financially? JD, are you still with us?
Financially, I can...
Go ahead.
Yes, so financially, I wouldn't have a problem paying rent.
Okay.
Virtue-wise, yeah, that would be better to move.
Okay, well, keep praying about it. Again, I guess I don't want to just say, well, this is what you should do. But I think in any kind of discerning, God is always prompting us toward greater meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. And so as we sort of sit with it, especially with that lens in mind, it often really clarifies, well, you know, even though I'm a little scared about it, or even though this might seem a little bit risky, or this seems a little bit whatever, I can see how this is workable, number one, and number two, that it really would lead to greater meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. And so I'm going to lean into that. And the good news is, you know, the follow-up to this is that if we're really praying about these decisions, seeking God's will, and then leaning into those qualities that lead to an abundant life, even if we get it wrong, we're moving in the general right direction, right? And so God, I call it GPS, God's positioning system, right? So as long as we're moving toward meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, even if we make a wrong turn, God will help us recalculate and show us where he wants to get us, you know? So St. Francis hears God say, I want you to rebuild my church, and he starts running around the Italian countryside building little chapels out of stone. God's like, no, that's not exactly what I meant.
You took me a little too literally there, Francis.
But eventually, you know, Francis figured it out. And still, what he did wasn't a waste of time, or it wasn't bad. It was just not part of the experience. So I would just say, Jake D., keep praying about those qualities, meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. And we talk more about this, too, in my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, which is all about discerning the way forward whenever we're not quite sure what to do. Check it out. Keep praying about it and let us know how it goes. I hope that criteria will snap some things into focus for you, though. 877-573-7825. I mean, I really do, and I don't mean to imply, by the way, that just asking this question automatically just snaps everything into focus and it all becomes clear and you never have any doubts. That's not true either. But it does, I think, give us a framework to be able to test the various feelings and impulses and thoughts that we have about decisions and really kind of focus the energy. Because you even heard JD saying, you know, that really does cause me to start leaning in this direction.
There that works. I think that when we have those three questions to take to prayer repeatedly, and we want to be clear here, it's not a one and done unless you really hear the angels singing, right? But to say, okay, let me really think about each one of these more deeply. So let me go back to JD's question for a minute. So let's go to the last one, which is virtue. We might be able to live a much more virtuous life in more isolation because we don't have the cranky neighbor. We don't have the, you know, person who's not nice to us. We have some peace and isolation, which is why a lot of religious orders live farther out in the country. Is staying in a more isolated place letting you stay away from near occasions of sin? Or would moving closer to people help you exercise virtue and you're feeling strong enough to take that on because you're not going to be dragged under by these people? So really asking yourself questions about each of these categories, meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, and really taking that to prayer. You don't have to pray about it for 200 years, but you want to be asking these questions to give you more and more clarity about the decision that you're trying to make.
You know, and I think, you know, part of it too, and this is something that I'll practice, you know, is, okay, Lord, you know, it seems to me that as I brought this to you, and, you know, I've investigated the things that are truly possible, I'm not taking, you know, ridiculous risks or anything, but it seems to me that based on the fact that this is possible, and it seems to me to lead to greater meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, this is what I'm going to do. But if that's not what you want me to do, please hit me upside the head and let me know. You know? And then if nothing else happens, I have to assume that's the direction God wants me to go in. And I trust in his mercy and that God positioning system to help me recalculate if I've got it wrong. But I'm not ever going to have 10,000% certainty, at least not usually, right? That's the one type of discernment where we all want, where St. Paul gets knocked off his horse and knows exactly what he's supposed to do.
I call it the Griswold Christmas tree. I don't know how many people saw the Christmas Vacation movie that comes up, you know, watch it every year. But there is a scene in that where they're looking for their Christmas tree and all of a sudden they're in the Christmas tree field and the light shines down and they hear angels and he sees it twinkling and he's sure that's the right tree. Discerned a little weird. There's a squirrel in it. There's a whole thing going on. But we all want that. We just want to hear the angels saying, and God's light shine upon our decision.
But St. Ignatius of Loyola said that God only tends to do that when we wouldn't be able to know any other way that is the thing he wants us to do. So St. Paul couldn't possibly have known that he was supposed to go from persecuting Christians to not just being one, but being the greatest evangelizer in the history of Christianity. you know, that's something that God needed to tell him. And so God tends to reserve those moments for times when we really couldn't discern it on our own. Otherwise, St. Ignatius tells us that he tends to incline our hearts toward things as we sit and reflect on them. And if we sit and reflect on them in light of this meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue test, that really tends to snap a lot of things into focus the more we sit with it. So keep trying it out. And we are here to help you figure out what that means for you at 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day. It comes to us from John chapter 10, verse 27.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
And again, it's a reminder to really look to the Lord and the life that he's calling us to, rather than the feelings that we're having in the moment or the concerns that we're having. It's really about asking God, teach me what you want me to do.
And to do that, to really ask God those things, you want to be that attentive sheep. You know, if the reason this scripture is the way it is because back in the day, a shepherd was with his sheep all the time. And so were a bunch of other shepherds, and they used to let their sheep go in fields. You know, it wasn't like everybody had little private properties. They'd send all the sheep out. But the sheep were so attuned to their own shepherd's voice that when they were called out of the field, only the ones for that shepherd would follow because they knew that voice so clearly. We can only know God's voice clearly if we're talking to him throughout the day. Like he's right there, loving us and wanting what's best for us, because he is. And just spending our time talking to God in our head or out loud if we're not surrounded by a bunch of other people, and getting to know our shepherd and he getting to know us. Then when we have bigger things to discern, we've already laid down that relationship and we can hear his voice more clearly.
877-573-7825. Talking about discernment today on More to Life on our show titled, Which Way, Lord? Give us a call and we'll let us help walk you through the steps of hearing God's voice more clearly. 877-573-7825. We'll be back with more of your questions coming up right after this.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Are you struggling with a persistent emotional or relationship problem? Maybe those thoughts and feelings won't leave you alone, or your marriage has grown distant, or a wound from your past still aches. Too many of us tell us that we should be able to handle it alone, or that good Catholics shouldn't need help. That's not true. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. My team of pastoral counselors will help you find solutions rooted in solid psychology and our Catholic faith, so you don't have to choose between getting real help and staying true to what you believe. Visit CatholicCounselors.com and discover how we can help your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
This Ave Maria program brought to you in part by the following nonprofit.
One of the greatest threats to your family isn't a disaster or a virus, but addiction. In nearly every family and every pew, someone is silently struggling. Beginning July 11th, Shalom World TV and the iThirst Initiative present Unshackled, a powerful new series on the Catholic Church's response to the addiction crisis, bringing together leading voices to discuss real healing. Stream it free at shalomworld.org or on the Shalom World app today.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, we're talking about discernment on our show titled, Which Way, Lord? We're talking about those times when it's just hard to know what God might be calling us to. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. We won't tell you what God's telling you to do, but we'll walk you through the steps that help you figure it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Rindy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia.
Rindy, welcome to Word of Life. What's going on?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm currently trying to discern if I should quit my job and be a stay-at-home mom. I'm on maternity leave now with my fifth child, and I'm scheduled to go back in August. End of August. And I've been praying nightly, asking God, you know, I do seek to do his will, and I want, you know, would love an answer or some clarity about this topic. And I'm just not getting that text message. I'm not getting that clear answer at all.
Yeah. I hear that.
And I'm just as confused as I was when I first had the baby, you know, and was trying to think if I wanted to do this. I did a 9-day novena to St. Therese. Like I said, I've been praying nightly. I've prayed rosaries and just haven't really received an answer, and would love some advice if you have any.
We have several questions, so stick with us here. My first question for you, though, just so I can get to figure out where your heart and your mind are on this. So this is your fifth child. Why now are you suddenly feeling this desire to do this? I'm trying to see if it's a prompting of the Holy Spirit or something has changed in your life. Why now as opposed to any of the prior kids in your family?
Yeah, so I do think it's a prompting from the Holy Spirit. I'm a recent-ish convert. I came into the church 3 years ago, and I've had three kids in 3 years since coming into the church. And so with my first two, I did not want to stay at home. I was, you know, I wanted to be one of those boss babes, and I was just trying to, I had one foot in the home and one foot in my job. And it was coming from a place of pride, I think, where I didn't want to give up what I had worked for. And so now, coming into the church and just really being open and receptive to the Holy Spirit, and I think being sincere and wanting to do God's will, I do feel in my heart that I want to stay at home and be with my children and be the CEO of my own home and raise godly children. And so I feel like that's in my heart. But in my mind, when I start to think about the logistics of that and what that looks like on a day-to-day basis, then I start to retreat. Then I start to think about, you know, I crunch the numbers with the finances, and things would be very tight if I were to give up my salary. I do think about my mental health with, you know, being at home with five kids and having no reprieve. My husband works long hours. He does manual labor, and I don't want him to come home at the end of the day or to the house being a complete mess and a total chaos. And we don't have any family nearby either. So I do worry about neither of us, my husband and I, getting a break. So I think, like I said, when I look at like the logistics and the actual day-to-day aspects, when I get up in my head about it, I start to, think, you know, maybe it's not such a great idea. Maybe I should go to my job and ask, you know, can I do like a reduction in hours or do, work from home a few days a week. So, like I said, it's just, I'm confused.
Now, Rindy, I can hear you're an incredibly competent woman, and your competence is making you use a whole lot of I statements here where you're the one trying to figure this out. Is your husband a man of faith? Are you able to pray together with him about this decision?
He is not, no. He is not Catholic. No. So, He is open to pray together. He is now. He was not when I first became Catholic.
It kind of
came out of nowhere, and it was a point of contention for a while. But he is now, and you know, we pray together as a family before meals, and I take the kids to church. He does not come with me. So there is a little bit of, you know, of a fracture in that regard. So I feel like I'm kind of on my own when it comes to this discernment process, but he is supportive of me staying home. He thinks I should stay
He
home.
Is. Okay.
That was my next question. Okay.
That was the next one. All right. So I would love for the, for this to, challenge you guys to begin praying together more intently about this. I'm glad that he's more open than he was before. If you're interested in kind of talking about how to kind of tiptoe into couple prayer, especially with him kind of not being sure where he's at with it all, I'd really encourage you to check out our book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, which really describes, you know, how to start praying with your spouse in ways that are maybe a little more accessible and comfortable and meaningful. So check it out if you're interested in going down that road. But I think, you know, however you are praying together right now, even use that to just say, you know, and Lord, help us to know what it is that you want us to do. Now, you said that, like we were talking with JD earlier, that, you know, God, generally speaking, doesn't ask us to take dangerous risks. So if this was, you know, if he were saying, you know, I don't see how we could possibly afford this, but this longing is on my heart, I would probably tell you something a little different than what I'm saying right now. But I think that you're on the right track. I think that you still need to get more information. I think, number one, you need to talk to your employer about what options are available, whether you could reduce your hours or work from home for a couple of days. I would say when we're trying to discern something, we want to give God all the options. And also be open to the possibility that God wants to surprise us with something that we haven't even
totally
thought of.
Totally different option, exactly.
So instead of just saying to God, okay, Lord, do you want me to do this or that? It's like, okay, Lord, help me to see all the possibilities and then evaluate those possibilities in the light of that meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue lens. You know, what's going to allow me, which option is going to really allow me to use my gifts most fully for all the people in my life? And to be a blessing and to make a positive difference in my circumstances. What is going to lead me to have the best relationships and the deeper relationships that I'm feeling called to? What's going to challenge me to grow in virtue? In terms of the logistics, if you're saying that it's not obviously, you know, jeopardizing to make one decision over the other, we can always work out the logistics. You know, like all the things that you said about, you know, well, how would the day go and how would I make sure that I was meeting my needs? Those are all common challenges of you know, being home, for instance. But whether you stay at home or you work out some kind of hybrid thing or whatever, they're going to be logistical issues that you can work through. The bigger question is always, you know, number one, is it possible? And number two, which would lead to I prayerfully believe would lead to the greatest experience of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. But you want to always give God all the options and even be open to the possibility that something else might be happening. I mean, I'll just even share, you know, what when I was discerning, I was in a small private practice, you know, face-to-face private practice. I was perfectly happy, but I felt God calling me to ministry, and I wasn't sure what that would possibly look like. And so, you know, as Lisa and I were praying about it, you know, we were giving God the options that we could think of, but suddenly it sort of dawned on us, well, what about doing telephone-based Catholic counseling,
which was crazy.
This was 1999. Nobody was doing that.
Part of the discernment process was you very much wanted to be home,
yes,
closer to the children. You had that with your father's profession, and you wanted to be able to have that with your own children. So you were taking all of that to God.
I really wasn't sure how that could possibly happen, you know. And so I, you know, on the one hand, okay, Lord, you know, I'm feeling called to be home more. I'm feeling called to do this work for you. I have no idea how to make all this work. And he's the one who gave us this idea for this ministry that has grown into what it is now. And I couldn't have thought of that on my own. So you know, be open to the possibility that God wants to surprise you. But get all the options first. Talk to your employer about, you know, whether they would let you reduce your hours or, you know, work in a hybrid way from home part-time or whatever. And then continue to pray about all those options in light of which do you think would be the most meaningful, intimate, and virtuous choice available to you based on the definitions that we gave. And the more you kind of sit with that and pray through it, I think it'll become pretty clear to you what way God is calling you to go. But use it. But I think too that God is using this as an opportunity to draw you and your husband closer together, not just
very
closer to him,
much,
but to each other, so that you could share this part of your heart more openly with him, and really see how God is working through the two of you to bring you to this next place that he's calling you to be.
And you really want to go to him with all the information that you get from your employer and say, honey, I need your wisdom on this. I want to figure this out together. I want to go through the numbers with you. My hopes, my concerns, I want to hear what your hopes and concerns are if we made this transition. I really want to do this as best friends and talk about this and have your wisdom and discern this together.
I would say, though, I think you're 90% there. And the only other thing I would say is don't let the logistics scare you off, because logistics can all be worked out. It's really the question of what is going to lead to what is possible, number one, and not going to lead to any, you know, in jeopardy. But also what's going to lead to the greatest meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. Lean into that, because that's what an abundant life looks like. Thank you so much for the call, Rindy. We are adding you to our More to Life prayer list. I already mentioned the book Praying For and With Your Spouse, which really does talk about how to make this couple discernment and couple prayer accessible. But if you're looking for more tips on the discerning this, my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, really talks about all the things we're discussing on the show and how to apply them to the specific challenges you're experiencing. So that's The Life God Wants You to Have. You can get both of those resources at CatholicCounselors.com. And listeners, if you are struggling to discern what to do about a relationship or a challenge that you're facing or an opportunity, reach out and let us walk you through those steps at CatholicCounselors.com. We can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, personal life, in the light of God's grace. CatholicCounselors.com. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.